We shall now turn to John's Gospel, chapter 10, and we shall consider this morning verses 11 to 18. John chapter 10 and verses 11 to 18. We could read verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So Jesus here is asserting that he is the good shepherd. Well, who are the sheep? The sheep are obviously God's people. Are you one of Christ's sheep? It's important to ask yourself, to challenge yourself. Do I belong to his flock? Is he my shepherd? Am I following him? Am I dependent on him for feeding? What is my relationship to Christ? Jesus warns here about false shepherds. He speaks about those who climb up some other way. Verse 1, the same are thieves and robbers. Those who are self-centered, who are seeking their own happiness, their own wealth, who have no true care for the sheep. Obviously, he's referring to the chief priests and the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church of his day. All that came before me are thieves and robbers. And today there are plenty priests, ministers, tele-evangelists who are no better than thieves and robbers. Out for themselves, no love for the sheep, seeking to make money for themselves, seeking their own reputation, their own advancement, and caring little for the sheep of God. But we're told here in verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. How different it is with Christ. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Do you want life? Life is only to be found in Jesus Christ. He who has the Son has life, and he who has not the Son of God has not life. Jesus, the shepherd, gives life. But the thief, he comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. Beware. Remember Paul speaking to the elders of Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. He says, grievous wolves shall come in amongst the flock. Grievous wolves, another name for the false shepherds who come and devour the flock rather than caring for it and being a blessing to the flock. So then, coming to verse 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. If you are to literally translate the Greek here, it says, I am the shepherd, the good one. There's plenty of bad ones around. I'm the good one. The good one. Jesus is the shepherd. The supreme shepherd. The good shepherd. He's the good shepherd because, first, he's appointed by God. Not self-appointed, like these Pharisees and scribes. Not those who shepherds who come climbing over the wall and in amongst the sheep, not for the sheep's good, but to steal and to devour the sheep. But Jesus comes in through the door, appointed by God, appointed in eternity. Before the world was, before man existed, God made a covenant of redemption with his Son. And in that covenant he said, "Here, I will give you these sheep. You are to take them, and you are to die for these sheep, to save the sheep. And then you will have a flock forever that you have saved." And the Son replied to the Father, "I will go. I will do it. I will take these people and I will save them. I will be their Savior, whatever the cost." Appointed by God, God gave to him his people, God gave to him the sheep, and he willingly accepts that position, chosen by God, the Good Shepherd. But then also, the true shepherd. He knows his job. He's not an amateur. He's not like maybe you or me if we started trying to take over a flock of sheep and look after them. We could be sure that the sheep would suffer badly in our hands. But Jesus, he is the true shepherd. He knows his job. He does it, and he does it perfectly. The good shepherd could also be translated as the beautiful shepherd. And of course he is that. Not physically beautiful. If you had lived in Galilee 2,000 years ago, you wouldn't have turned in the street to look at Jesus. There was nothing special to notice about him. He wasn't particularly tall, particularly broad, particularly strong, particularly handsome. In some ways, he didn't really look all that good. Isaiah says of him, "His visage was more marred than any man. His face was kind of spoiled." Well, you remember how they tormented him, how they plucked the hair out of his beard, how they spat in his face. But his beauty is not physical, but it's spiritual. It's an inner beauty. So that in the Song of Solomon, Solomon says, "He is the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. What is he to you?" Could you say, "He's the beautiful one, the beautiful shepherd, the most beautiful, the most handsome, the most wonderful. He's such an amazing person. Jesus, the beautiful shepherd." And one other thing, Jesus, the loving shepherd, the caring shepherd. Well, normally you think of a shepherd as one who looks after the sheep, but you don't generally think of a shepherd as one who loves sheep, loves his sheep. Maybe in a kind of a way. But Jesus certainly does love. Doesn't just look after. Doesn't just view them as his property. He views his sheep as his delight. He loves his sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Christ loves you. And he loved you before you were born. And he will always love you. And nothing shall separate you from the love of Christ. Neither tribulation nor persecution, nor famine nor nakedness, nor peril nor sword. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Because he is such a wonderful shepherd. There's many people in the world and they don't want a shepherd. They want to be free. They want to do what they like. They want to go their own way. They don't want to be restricted by the ways of the shepherd. There's lots of people and they don't bother with church because they don't want a shepherd. And even some people who come to church, they're not all that keen to have the shepherd ruling their lives. Are you like that? Or are you so glad that you have a shepherd? Are you saying to him, teach me your ways. Help me to follow you. Help me to keep my eye upon you constantly. Don't let me wander far from you. Jesus, you're my shepherd. I want to stay close to you. Is that your attitude towards him? That's the way it should be. But all we, like sheep, have gone astray by nature. By nature, we're lost sheep. We wander away from the shepherd and the fold. Like the prodigal son, we go into the far country and waste our substance in riotous living. But the good shepherd calls us back. Come unto me. Return. Come to me. Follow me. Stick close by me. You know, of all creatures, a sheep is one of the most vulnerable. If a dog was on its own, it could survive. Or maybe a cat could survive, all right. It would find a way of surviving. But a sheep, it needs care, it needs attention, needs looking after. It's so dependent. And that's the way we are. We are dependent upon Christ. Otherwise, we perish. The Good Shepherd. Secondly, notice that the Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The second part of verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. So here is the clearest demonstration of why he is called the Good Shepherd. He gives his life. He was given a flock by the Father. But it was a strange flock. Actually, the flock that he was given was a dead flock. Don't normally think of a shepherd looking after a dead flock of sheep, or being given a flock of dead sheep to care for. But that's what he was given. Dead sheep. And he had first of all to bring them to life. And the only way he could bring them to life was by he himself giving his life to the sheep. And in that sense, for the sheep. So the Good Shepherd gives his life to us, and he takes our death upon himself. The shepherd died for the sheep. And by his death, he resurrects the sheep. He gave his life a ransom for many, so that these many sheep would be brought to life. God commendeth his love toward us. God demonstrates his love. Scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God demonstrating his love. There we were, dead sinners. And Christ died for us. In the Old Testament, we find many shepherds. You go right back to the very beginning of the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 4, you find a shepherd there. And the shepherd takes one of his lambs, a firstling of the flock, and he offers that lamb as a sacrifice to God. The shepherds offer the sheep as sacrifices. But the Good Shepherd He doesn't take one of the flock and offer it up as a sacrifice. He offers himself. And he spares the flock. He becomes the Lamb of God. And he values in that sense the flock more than himself. How wonderful you and I are when Christ values us more than himself. What rubbish. No, all the value we have is the value that he gives us. What he makes us, how he transforms us. Amazingly, he loves us. And who can understand why Christ loves us? Why should Christ love you? Why should Christ love me? There's nothing to attract his love in us. But that's grace. Loving that which is the opposite of himself. And he loved us so much that he died for us. And through his death, he transforms us into something lovely. Brings us to life. Puts his spirit within our hearts. Changes us in our nature. Transforms us and makes us beautiful. So that we are like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The good shepherd, he gives his life for the sheep, and by giving his life, earns for the sheep eternal life. Do you have eternal life? Thirdly, moving on to verse 12, notice the contrast between the good shepherd and the hirelings. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. The hireling. He's somebody who's paid to look after the sheep. All he cares about is his wages. The sheep don't belong to him. They're of no value in that sense to him. He's just paid to do the job. So when the hireling sees a wolf coming to attack the sheep, the hireling thinks, I don't want to get killed. I don't want to get hurt. So he flees and he leaves the sheep to the wolf. How different it was with David, the shepherd, looking after the sheep. And he sees not just a wolf but a lion coming and catching one of his lambs. And what does he do? He faces up to the lion, takes the lamb from it. When the lion turns on him, he kills the lion. Similarly, when a bear tries to steal one of his lambs, he confronts the bear and he kills it. He endangered himself for the flock. He's no hireling. Now, sometimes a shepherd looking after his sheep might die. He might be attacked by a wild animal and killed. He might be attacked by thieves and killed. His death would be an accident and would be a disaster for the sheep. But the good shepherd's death is not an accident and it's not a disaster for the sheep. The good shepherd's death is purposeful. He dies in order to save the sheep. He dies because it's planned that he should die, and it's only through his death that the sheep can be saved and have life. Think of Zechariah chapter 13. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. Who was that shepherd? Jesus Christ. Zechariah was looking ahead and seeing the shepherd. And the shepherd is smitten by the sword of God's justice. Smite the shepherd, the sheep scattered initially. But I will turn my hand upon the little ones. He will gather the lambs in his arms, in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young, the vulnerable, the weak. Our wonderful shepherd loves his sheep so much that he gives his life for them. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends. Greater love hath no shepherd than this, that the shepherd lay down his life for the sheep. And ye are my sheep, and I lay down my life for you. It's wonderful to be one of Christ's sheep. Terrible to be outside of the flock of God. But it's wonderful that there's an invitation to men, women, boys and girls today. Come, join in. Come into this fold. Come and accept the Good Shepherd as your shepherd. Come and be part of his flock. Moving on to verse 14. The Good Shepherd knows his sheep. I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. If I was placed with a flock of sheep, I wouldn't know one sheep from another. They all look very much the same to me. But how different it is for a shepherd. A shepherd will be able to tell you about each one of these sheep, how old it is, what lambs it's had, its history, anything interesting in its story. The shepherd knows a sheep. He might have hundreds of sheep, and yet he can tell you about each one of them as surely as if they all had a name. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just have 200 or 300 sheep, or 1,000 sheep, or 10,000 sheep. He's got millions and millions of sheep. And he knows every single one of them. And he can pick them out one from another. And he can call them by name. That's the kind of shepherd he is. I am the Good Shepherd and know my sheep. He has this wonderful relationship that he knows them. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. Now the word know in the Bible often has the connotation of love. Adam knew his wife Eve. It speaks of love, to know somebody. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I chastise you, correct you. You are my children. You're special to me. So the word know then has this connotation of love involved. And the Good Shepherd knows his sheep, loves his sheep, and the sheep love him. What a precious truth. The Good Shepherd loves you, his sheep. He loved me and he gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20, brilliant verse. He loved me and he gave himself for me. Oh, that we could all say that in truth. Claiming Christ as our Savior. He loves us, but we also love him. And we love him because he first loved us. And by his love, he drew us. Drew us with the cords of love to himself. Won us over. The sheep know the shepherd. The sheep love the shepherd. Isaiah chapter 1. The ox knoweth his owner. The ass his master's crib. The animal knows who feeds it, who cares for it. The ox knows his owner and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, and my people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. Let us not be a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. But may we be the sheep of Christ. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and am known of mine. Can you say in truth, the Lord is my shepherd? Remember Jessie Rogers, the blind lady who used to, the deaf lady who used to worship with us here. As a young woman, she used to tell of how she and her husband and some friends were playing cards. And a good Christian man came into the home and began to speak to them and challenged her. Asked her, did she know the psalm, "The Lord's my shepherd"? She said she did. Well, he said, you have no right to use that psalm. You have no right to sing it, because it's not true. The Lord is not your shepherd. And it was through these words that she was led to consider her ways and turn and seek the Lord, make her peace with God. The Lord is my shepherd. Verse 15, moving on. The shepherd loves as the Father loves the Son. This is an amazing verse. As the Father knoweth me. Remember we said knowing and loving is the same idea so often in the scriptures. As the Father knoweth me, as the Father loves me, even so know I and love I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep as the Father loves the Son. What kind of love does the Father have for his Son, and the Son have for the Father? A love which is infinite. The length, the breadth, the height, the depth cannot be measured. It passes knowledge. It passes expression. The greatness of the love that the Father has to the Son, and that the Son has to the Father, and that the Spirit has to the Son, and that the Son has to the Spirit. A love that's infinite, and furthermore, a love that's eternal. Never had a beginning, will never have an end. A love that's unchangeable, doesn't wax and wane. It's always infinitely great. As the Father knoweth me, as the Father loveth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, as the Father knows me. I love my sheep just as the Father loves me and I love him. Christ loves you with an infinite love, an eternal love, an unchangeable love, an indescribably great love. The length, the breadth, the breadth, the height, the depth of the love of Christ, it passes knowledge. The love of this good shepherd. When you love someone, you show that love, don't you? You give presents to the person you love. You do kind things for the person you love. Last weekend I was in Arran. And I was hearing there about the son of an elder who was in the Arran congregation. He was dying with kidney problems. And his brother gave him one of his kidneys. And now he's in perfect health. That's great love from a brother. To give a kidney to his brother. To save his life. But you know, the Lord Jesus didn't give us one kidney, knowing that he could live on another. Jesus gave us his heart. And he only had the one heart. Gave us his heart. He says, son, daughter, give me thine heart. And first of all, he gave us his heart. And it's because we have his heart that we give our heart to him. It's because he gave us his life that we have life. He is the one, the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He is the one, as verse 15 says, as the Father knoweth me, loveth me, even so love I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, there are other sheep. Other sheep who do not as yet belong to the fold. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. The good shepherd, he has other sheep. Who are the other sheep? Well, at this point in time, the only flock he had was a Jewish flock. The other sheep are from outside of Israel. The other sheep are the Gentile sheep. Now, the Gentiles at this time were regarded as unclean, uncircumcised, dogs, untouchable. But the Good Shepherd, he cares for them. The Good Shepherd loves and draws these new sheep into the fold. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so, friends, it's not just a flock in Israel, a flock composed of the Jews, but there's a flock of people here in Glasgow. We too have our place, although we're not children of Abraham by the flesh. We are children of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. We're not circumcised bodily, but we are circumcised spiritually. Other sheep given to him. When the Greeks came to Philip and said, we would see Jesus, and Philip brought them to Jesus, we're told that Jesus rejoiced in his spirit. He was rejoicing over this first evidence of the Gentiles coming to Christ. Praise God, there's a gospel, not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. And then, finally, verses 17 and 18, the Father loves the Son. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. As the Father loves the Son. Now, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. Now, of course, within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit loved one another. They were one. They were in love. They were in unity, in harmony together from all eternity. But this verse is speaking particularly of Christ and his humanity. Therefore doth my Father love me. He loves me because I am obedient, because I trust in him, because I keep his commandments, because I lay down my life for him. Jesus came as the suffering servant to save his people. He did what he was told. He laid down his life. Yet, he didn't lay it down in despair, but in faith, believing that he was going to rise again on the third day and to continue his work as shepherd. My Father loves me because I'm laying down my life, and I'm laying it down that I might take it again. I'm not dying to die forever. No man taketh it from me. It wasn't Judas who took my life from me. It wasn't the chief priests and the scribes who took my life from me. It wasn't even Pilate who took my life from me. No man taketh it from me. I willingly laid it down. I offered myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I have the ability to do that. I lay it down, and on the third day, I will take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father, and my Father loves me because I lay down my life for the sheep. We have here a beautiful presentation of Christ the Good Shepherd. How important it is to value this shepherd, to think highly of what Jesus has done, and to look to him today as your shepherd and put your trust in him. Make sure Jesus is your shepherd. Make sure that you can say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want."